And now for another episode, Heard It Through the Rose Vine, with your host, the creator of Black Rose Writing, Raygun Brody.
Greetings and salutations. This is Raygun Brody, the host of Heard It Through the Rose Vine, signing on for another episode. And yes, we are still here. My co-hosts, yes, that's plural today, are the social media and marketing Jedi for Black Rose Writing, Christopher Miller. He's back and he has saved the galaxy. Also joining us is operations executive Justin Weeks.
Front and present.
He's the man you want to always be nice to as he calculates your royalties. The most beautiful member of our staff, the added marketing executive, Minna Rhodey.
Hello.
Is here.
It's debatable.
And last but not least, the longest tenured member of the team, design director David King.
Good morning.
So we thought we'd have a little fun today. I've got 12 questions, just a simple little pick one before we get to our guest interview. And we'll start it off and we'll just go around the horn. So first one, chocolate or vanilla? Let's start with Miller.
I'm going vanilla.
All right, Weeks.
You know, for a man his size, he's got to go chocolate. So I'm not even the playing field. I'm going chocolate.
Chocolate all day.
And Dave, what do you got?
I'm going to make it hard. I'm going vanilla.
I'm torn. Like, I mean, if I've got to pick one, it's super hard, but I'm going to go vanilla.
Yeah.
I mean, you can either pick one. Vanilla or you can be right. I mean, it's y'all's choice.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so far I'm 1-for-1 on Minna's picks. Like I would have got that one right if I had to pick for Minna.
I mean, let's be honest, they're both good choices. Right. That was a tough one.
Pancakes, number two, pancakes or waffles,
ooh,
Miller?
It's a toughie, but I'm going waffle.
Waffle?
Well, I wish y'all could see me on the webcam right now. I know y'all can, but the audience can't. I'm just shaking my head over this guy's choices. It's pancakes all day.
Waffle is the
word. Oh, Minna. Weeks, don't be mad at me. I'm going waffle.
I am mad.
Dave? I got to go waffle, man. Those little cups hold
your
syrup.
It.
There you go. Love it. There you go.
Yeah. I got to go waffle too. Oh. It's another tough one, but I really like when you can get the crispiness from the waffle. That's the win.
We'll let Weeks have the soggy
pancakes loving ass out of here.
I'm just not sure if I've ever been more hurt as a person.
You're on that island all by yourself.
Who's ever said I want a chocolate chip waffle? Nobody in their life.
I make chocolate chip waffles.
Saying, majority.
All right, Miller, summer or winter?
Well, due to my size, I'm a winter guy. I like to hibernate.
All right, listen, Weeks? This is going to be an unpopular opinion probably, but being as how I work inside and home, don't have to deal with the elements, I am a winter lover. Winter is coming.
Summer, Minna. All day. Summer.
Yes, Dave.
Summer.
I'm also summer.
Like to,
yes.
I'd like to jump back in, if I may. Dave, as a fellow pale-skinned man, I can't tell you how just distraught I am at your choice.
Oh, man. You can't go in the lake. You can't go swimming.
You can go on the lake.
You can't do any of that when it's freezing cold
outside.
You just
got to break a thin layer of ice.
Yeah, you really can. It's do you want to.
But okay, I get it.
All right, number four, tea or coffee, Miller?
I assume this is hot beverage.
I mean, I think mean, it's debatable. Okay. Whatever you want it to be.
I got to go straight black coffee, serial killer style.
Oh, my God.
That's the word on the street.
It's a special blend just for him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, when I read John Douglas's Mindhunter, I don't remember one of the profiles being like, does he drink?
Well, if they put that out there, then everybody would be oh, let me get two creams. I forgot I can't order black coffee anymore. It's a dead giveaway.
And Weeks, this is going to sound a little harsh, but I'm going to tell it to you straight. I definitely don't wonder why you're single anymore.
Whoa. hang on. We gotta
make comments like that, you're gonna creep get a pause. Some people out.
You think so? We gotta pause the whole podcast. You think that comment is why I'm single? I gotta beat them away. They love when they walk in and they see my big book of serial killers books sitting on my coffee table.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, your husband bought it for me. Who's the real loser here?
So Minna's choice is going to be coffee. So we can knock that one out. Yeah. Dave, what's yours?
I got to go coffee. I'm an iced tea lover through the rest of the day, but that first and second favorite cup of coffee in the morning, you just can't beat it.
This is my easiest question so far. Tea for me all day.
Yep, could have guessed that one.
Okay, Mayor.
Yeah.
Miller, comedy or horror? Oh,
see, now we're getting into the nitty gritty. And
we've been there.
And I'm...
I mean, this could be book, this could be movie, this could be show, it could be like, you know, out in public.
Well, I scream like a little girl sometimes, so I'm going to go comedy.
Well, I'm going to have to, I mean, it's pretty simple for me. It's comedy because usually there's a lot of good comedies, and horror movies just typically aren't very good. They're not scary. They're just gory a lot of the times, but there's nothing horror about it.
Well, considering if I watch this, just the least scary show, I've got to watch a show like Bambi afterward to be able to sleep. I'm going comedy.
Bambi's the most horror. Bambi's the most horror.
Yeah, maybe that's not a good choice, definitely have to watch something else to get my mind off of the scary movies.
But Dave, don't let me
go. I gotta go horror, man. You can't horror. Beat a good scary movie. Number one, number two, the monsters are amazing. Man, it's just so much creativity.
You're a creative genius, though, man. Like horror is your style. I get it.
Oh yeah, nobody will watch them with me, so I always find myself watching them at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Who's a real serial killer in here? Oh, okay, who is a real creeper in here now?
Seriously.
We got number six, Miller. Singing or dancing?
Oh, well, I mean, I have the voice of an angel, but I think my moves are better, so I'm gonna go dancing.
That's fair. I have to turn the music up extremely loud in my car when I'm driving because sometimes it like pauses and I realize just how atrocious I am, but I am a singer. However, I've been known to do a mean floss, but I'm going singing.
I'm going singing.
Minna. Dave.
What were my choices again?
Singing or dancing?
Dancing. I like dancing.
And this is from the only musician of the group, right?
I mean, I like my voice, but I hate hearing my voice, so I'd rather just shake my booty.
Yeah, Weeks is 100% accurate. If you turn the metal up so loud, then you're singing. If you can't hear it, then it actually is really, really good.
And so I don't appreciate that comment either because I play a mean Orkina.
What is that like? Is that one of the dolphin family?
We apologize for him, ladies and gentlemen. He's not well versed in video games. We apologize.
Miller, witches or wizards?
Well, man, you know, I'm going witches. I like me a nice fine witch. I like to think sometimes my wife is one. She occasionally attacks me.
Somebody send her
in
this
a good way. In a good way. In a good way.
So you better clean that up, okay, Miller.
Minna, you said you now know why I'm single. How is Miller married? All right, my turn.
Oh my goodness.
All right, so a little phrase I learned back in the day: witches get stitches. I'm going with wizards.
Yeah. Mitches.
Well,
witches?
I mean, than, you know, where you grew up.
I'm going wizards.
Yes.
I gotta go witches, man. I love them outfits.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man, Minna, once again,
Halloween.
Minna,
Halloween once again, Minna, outfit.
There's been some comments on here that are questionable.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to say that this recording of this podcast and these conversations we're having is just further reinforcing my decision to not join y'all on the headset on a regular basis.
Oh, man. Sweet.
That's cold. We, just for the record, we didn't invite you.
I'm going wizard.
You really are.
I'm the last wizard.
He's a long-time member of the Merlin family.
Yes. All right, Miller, ketchup or mustard?
This is not a good one.
It's not.
I mean... I'm going mustard. I just don't really like ketchup, like at all.
Whoa. All right, so can I go plain and dry, or do I have to pick one? If I okay, then it's mustard all day. If I get ketchup near me, I mean, I'm gonna throw the plate back at you. It's bad.
Oh my gosh.
I ate it. The problem is I ate it too much growing up, and it makes me sick.
Oh wow.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to go ketchup.
Minna.
When I was younger, it'd have been mustard, but ketchup.
I'm the exact opposite. When I was younger, it was ketchup.
No doubt.
Mustard.
Oh my goodness.
That's what I said. Yeah. That's what I was saying.
Wow.
Dave. Well, we all know Dave likes a little mustard on his corn dog.
Yeah. I'm with Weeks on this one. I'm going ketchup because just by default, because mustard is one of my top three worst foods you could ever put on anything. Worst condiments.
No.
All right. Better sweet or salty?
Salty. I'm going salty.
I mean, just on a day to day. I mean, there's nothing like a good like ice cream or brownie, but day to day, it's salty, no doubt.
Yep.
I'm going sweet all day long.
Sweet.
Salty.
Man, it's like, it's so tough. I mean, you know, I mean, I guess I could eat a steak with, you know, just like really hard garlic pepper and no salt flavor. And then go ahead and go with the sweet because I'm gonna need my ice cream.
Fair.
So
I mean,
we're gonna
eat more ice cream than any human being I've ever known.
Same. Yes.
Oh, that's
pasta
easy for me.
Or
pasta.
Pizza, Miller.
Get pizza out of here unless it's Grimaldi's.
Yeah, I'm spot on with that. Every time I order pizza, unless it's Grimaldi's, I usually regret it. And I just wish I ordered a nice chicken Alfredo.
Yeah. I'll cry in a corner.
Dang, they took the words right out of my mouth. I'm going pasta.
Boom.
Oh, give me a slice of pizza any day. I'll take a big old floppy New York style slice of pizza.
The tough part about this is if you're trying to go healthy, pizza is actually, you know, arguably a healthier choice in many cases here. This is a tough one. But I'm gonna have to go pasta. I think I would order that more often than pizza if
Absolutely.
I had to choose every day. All right, we're on number 11. We got two to go, Miller. Circles or squares?
Everybody know life is like a circle. So I'm going with the circle.
Yeah, I've never been able to draw a pretty circle in my life, and I have a little bit of OCD. I'm going square, a nice, beautiful square.
This is tough for me, guys. Man, I like nice, clean lines, so I'm leaning towards square, but, you know, circles have no beginning, no end, all of that fun stuff, so I'm torn. I guess if it comes down to it, I'd go circle.
I had a baby.
Oh, I'm going Dave? Circle all the way. You got to get the curves.
Time is a flat circle. Everything we've done or will do,
yes,
we'll do over and over and over.
Reference. Again. Yeah. Season one, not season two.
Yeah.
It's good to know there's only one square in this lobby.
All right, but the last one, boat or plane.
I do like me a little deep sea adventure.
Oh God.
yeah, I'm going plane because I don't want to die in the ocean.
I don't know.
You do know
well, I'm not going to fly the over ocean. The ocean. That's very simple.
I didn't know you were doing the flying.
If I have a choice, that's what's happening.
Yeah, I gotta go plane as well. I mean, I'm just not a big boat guy. Plane for me.
Plane for me.
Minna.
Boats Dave. All the way. I love the water.
Yeah, Dave is a
Beaver Lake
boat man on real lake. Beaver Lake. Yeah.
That is a real lake.
Get yourself there.
Yes.
I'm taking plane all the way. That's it, guys. I'm glad y'all
got to
get on the podcast. We have a
meeting
down there. A lot of fun. And thank you for coming on. We're gonna get right to our guest interview with Lynn Boswell.
Bye.
Y'all have a
great day, everybody.
Day, guys. Our guest today is Lynn Boswell. Lynn is the author of 10 books, including the award-winning and growing Simon Grave Mysteries. He lives in the mountains of West Virginia with his wife, Ruth, and two rescued dogs, Shadow and Cinder. Lynn spent many years on the other side of the book publishing equation as a proofreader, editorial assistant, editor, book designer, marketing director, book club director, vice president, and publisher for both profit and nonprofit publishers. When he retired 5 years ago, Lynn began to pursue his true passion, which is writing. Welcome to the show, Lynn. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. We're off to a good start for 2021, and we just celebrated book number. We just had a dinner to celebrate publishing 1,900 books now in our history. So that's a nice milestone, and we're on to 2,000. Will be the next one, obviously.
That's amazing. I remember when I was first joined Black Rose that you guys were celebrating the 1,000th book. So you guys are cooking.
So you've been around for half of our existence, give or take.
yeah.
So what? I mean, you know, we've got all these books. Let's first talk about, you know, what is your writing process? You know, how, you know, are you a page a day writer? You know, do you write outlines? Give me a little bit of, you know, information on that.
Sure. My method is to write. My goal is to write 1,000 words a day. And then the next day, I will review those 1,000 words and write another 1,000 words. I write mysteries, so I have an idea to begin with about, you know, what would be a good mystery and the whole murder process. And then I scope out what the ending is and how what the beginning is. And I know who the murderer is and how he did it. And so I will then start writing, but only outlining about 4 or 5 chapters in advance. Because I find that as I follow the clues, just like any other policeman, I'm drawn in different directions. So I don't want to outline too far in advance.
Yeah, you're willing to stay flexible to the story and kind of let it go, you know, where it goes.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, obviously most authors are readers and, you know, have inspiration through books they read. What are who are your, some of your favorite authors?
Wow, there are a lot of them. I think the authors that have influenced me the most, particularly on this mystery series, is, you might be surprised, Terry Pratchett, Douglas Adams, and Kurt Vonnegut.
Yeah, those are all, there's elements I see, you know, in your style and your writing and stuff that, that tie in with those authors for sure. How did you get the idea for your first book that we published, A Grave Misunderstanding, which is the first book in the Simon Grave mystery series?
Right, right. My wife and I are big fans of mysteries, so on any given night, we will be watching TV. It'll always be a mystery. And we were watching a locked room mystery. Those are mysteries where the victim is in a locked room with seemingly no way for the murderer to get in or out. And I said, what if I turned it around and had the victim outside the room and all the prime suspects inside the room, locked? So then it became, how would the murderer get out of the room, kill the victim, and then get back in the room, all without being seen by the other prime suspects?
That's super interesting. I don't even know what the plot for Night Grave Misunderstanding, but just for the generic plot, I don't even know what the setting is, and I'm already trying to think of the answer to the riddle. So I can see how that can develop into something that could be very intriguing. You know, how does one, you know, and I watch a lot of true crime. So obviously, you know, you're always trying to figure out the unsolved.
Right.
Go ahead.
So A Grave Misunderstanding is, I wanted it to be funny. So there are a lot of elements, almost, you know, I guess, campy elements to it. One of the characters in the book is an artist who only paints pictures of red herrings.
And you have, so yeah, both of your main characters are the, you know, you call them the almost handsome Detective Simon Grave and then the nearly invisible Sergeant Barry Blunt. How did you come up with those characters? And, you know, tell me a few of their.
Well, I'll start with Sergeant Barry Blunt, and it really goes back about 10 years. I was at a book conference in Las Vegas, and after a long day trying to sell books, I was meeting up with my colleagues at a bar, and I walked into this bar, and all of a sudden, every woman in the bar turned and looked at me in a way I've never been looked at before. It was just pure, unadulterated lust. And so I freaked out. So I see my colleagues at the back of the bar, and I walk down there to meet them. And then I suddenly realized that the women weren't looking at me at all. They were looking at my marketing manager who walked in with me. This guy is a former quarterback for Michigan State, 6'5", square-jawed, handsome. So that's where the genesis for Sergeant Barry Blunt came, because I was essentially completely invisible to those women. They were focused on my friend.
That's pretty funny.
And I thought it would be good to have a character, continuing character who was almost invisible, because he could go into a room and overhear suspects talking, and they wouldn't realize he was even in the room.
And what about Simon Grave?
Simon Grave, I wanted the book to be funny, so I came up with the name. I wanted it to be Simon, because that suggests intelligence, and I wanted to chose grave but to portray seriousness, but in the end I wanted Simon Grave to be nothing like that. I didn't want him to be super smart. I didn't want him to be super serious. And he ends up being, well, he's still developing, but he, at that stage, he's part Dudley Do-Right, part Inspector Clouseau, and if you can imagine it, a world-weary Bill Murray.
Yeah.
So that's how I came up with him.
So I know throughout the books, and I haven't, you know, read all the books, but I know there's some good good elements that you take a mystery and you draw in, you're drawing in sci-fi and you're drawing in humor and other elements. Is there any character, right, or secondary character that is off limits in your Simon Grave books?
What do you mean by off limits?
Like, is there anything that might not appear? I know, like, we have robots, we have cats, you know, we have everything, you know, is there anything that's just not going to appear in a Simon Grave book?
No, absolutely not. I mean, there's every book introduces one or two new characters. They may not be in every book, but they drop in now and then when they're needed.
So we're at four books. Go ahead.
One of the continuing types of characters are a particular type of android called sim droids, and they are androids that have been manufactured to look like famous people. So one of the continuing characters is Charlize, who's modeled after the young Charlize Theron. And she, it starts off in A Grave Misunderstanding as just an auto mechanic, and eventually becomes a detective who is programmed to be as talented as Sherlock Holmes.
So we've got four in the series, and we've got the fifth one, you know, coming up. What do you see as the future of the series?
I think it's really open-ended. I think sales will tell the tale, I think. I'm hoping it just gets better and better and better in that regard. And one of the characters I introduced in the fifth book, I just finished the first draft of, is named Penelope Goodlove, and she has this character has the potential for being a spin-off middle grade book called Penelope Goodlove's Invisible Detective Agency. But I'm still noodling with that idea. But the series itself could go on and on.
For sure. So we've got, you know, aside from Simon Grave, we've got your first YA fantasy that we're publishing coming out this summer, The Cave of the Six Arrows. How did you get the idea for that book? And, you know, tell me a little bit about that book.
Okay. Again, I like to turn things around. So I was reading a fantasy, which was a quest fantasy, where a person starts off in search of something. It could be a person, it could be a ring or whatever. And I said, what would happen if that person who's searching for another person is killed? And the person he's searching for finds his body. And that's so when he does find the body, there's a message in it that says, a message attached to the body, it says, please bring this person to me. So now he's got to figure out why this person came looking for him, why he was killed, and where he has to go to find the person who actually wants to kill him. So he's soon joined by a 15-year-old girl. That's where the YA comes in, who's just escaped from a very powerful monk, and she's on the run. So this other character, a warrior, takes her under his wing, and they simultaneously are fleeing the monk and going to find the person who is sending assassins to kill the warrior.
Do you have any upcoming book events? I know, obviously, with COVID in the past year, it's been a little light for most authors. But I'm curious if you have anything lined up or you have plans, you know, coming up where you're going to be able to do some book signings again.
I don't at the moment. I've received my first COVID shot, and I get the second one in a couple of weeks. And once I'm in the clear as far as vaccination is concerned, I'll probably be going checking out Barnes & Noble again, see if I can set up some signings. I live in a small town called Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, which doesn't even have a bookstore. So the opportunities close to home aren't that many. I have to actually go to a Barnes & Noble 100 miles away.
Yeah. Have you tried, you know, for fellow authors, I know a good tactic sometimes would be signing books like at restaurants or antique, you know, any type of coffee shop or any like hot spot that might be, you know, in your small town. Those are always could be interesting options.
Right. I'm going to definitely explore that once I'm COVID free.
Well, okay. I am happy to hear that you got your first shot. That's always, I think, exciting for anybody when someone else has gotten a shot. So I've got a short story section, a few rapid questions for you. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Favorite movie based on a book?
Whoa, that's a tough one. Favorite movie based on a book? Sophie's Choice.
I don't know if I've seen that.
It was published maybe 20 years ago. And it's about a woman. It's about Nazi Germany.
Okay.
A Jewish woman is forced to choose between two of her children. And of course, there's no way to choose, but she's forced to do it.
Right. Yeah, it's got obviously a good cast with Meryl Streep and Kevin Kline in it. It was made the year I was born. So yeah. So I have not. I might have to watch that sometime. I watch a lot of old movies, but have not that I remember. Haven't seen this, so we'll add it to the list. All right. Favorite. Okay, what has been your favorite quarantine activity?
Well, other than writing, it has been watching old movies.
That's a good one. I prefer to watch with my kids. We watch some the movies that I watched or like movies that I liked as a kid, get to rewatch some of those with them. They enjoy that.
The Goonies.
Yes. Yep. Goonies. Yep. That's one on the list for sure. What is your favorite food in West Virginia?
Favorite food in West Virginia is going to be breakfast. But first, there's the famous food in West Virginia is pepperoni rolls. It's really just a basic roll that's been stuffed with pepperoni. And women would make this as a lunch for their husbands before sending them off to the coal mines. But here in West Virginia, it's breakfast. And I don't know if you've heard of Scrapple.
Scrabble, like the game, or scramble?
No, no. I'm sorry, with P's as in Peter. Scrapple.
No, I have not.
It's sort of like the West Virginia's, and it's a Pennsylvania Dutch thing involving unnamed pork parts. But that's very, but that's very, very big here. And a lot of the restaurants are focused on breakfast.
That's awesome. I'm looking up scrapple. Yep. Traditionally a mush of pork scraps and trimmings combined with cornmeal and wheat flour. So there you go.
It's wonderful. It really is.
Okay, what is your least favorite genre to read?
Romance.
All right, I'm with you on that one. Little romance in a another genre, good. Straight romance, I can do without.
Completely.
Worst job you've ever had?
Oh, all right. This was back when I was going to college, and I had a summer job at the Volkswagen Training Center, and the job was to mow the lawn. And I would start on one side of the building on Monday and make it to the other, far side of the building, come back to where I was before by Friday. That's how much grass there was. And we just had little push mowers. And so there was no feeling of accomplishment at all, because you went home on Friday, you could already see the grass you mowed on Monday was already 6 inches tall.
Yeah, when you have to use the mower on the highest setting, and then try not to kill it too many times, and then you got to restart and go again.
Yeah, well, and the worst part, now that I think of it, was that we had to wear uniforms. We had to wear long sleeve shirts in the middle of August, pushing a mower. It was just brutal.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like fun. Name a place you haven't been but someday want to travel to.
Well, that's easy. Scotland. All my heritage comes from Scotland. And I'd love to get to see it other than online.
And then this one might fall under the same response, but if you could write your next book from anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Oh. New Zealand.
There you go.
Love the mountains. The countryside there is just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, everything. I haven't been to New Zealand, but, a lot of visuals. And it would be a good trip. That wraps this up. You've got the window here for to plug anything or add anything you'd like to. Please feel free to do so.
I'm going to plug Black Rose Riding and you. When A Grave Misunderstanding first came out, I had no concept that it would be a series, and it struggled in its first several months. And you actually sent me an email, said it would be good if you wrote a second book, and so this whole series is based on your suggestion. So thank you.
You're very welcome. Yeah. It's one of the things I learned in this industry as we were marketing and promoting other authors is, when an author who has one book, they ask, like, what can I do marketing? Like, what's next? And the response is write another book. I mean,
obviously,
if book one is bad and no good, then just writing a second book doesn't always necessarily help. But if you're doing well and book one has some readership, you got to have more books. That's there's not very many household authors that have one book, or two books that you right, have exactly. on your list. Most authors, when you ask right. people who their favorite authors are, they're usually authors with a lot of books.
All right, guys, that's it for today. Excited for Pamela Taylor, best-selling author of The Second Son Chronicles, coming up in a few weeks. I also want to thank our monthly supporters, our show patrons, Kristen Clemens, one of the new ones, Christopher Calvinese, Rose Contreras, and also Mike Wojciechowski. Thank you again for supporting the show. If you get a chance, go to our anchor page for Black Rose Writing, the Heard It Through the Rosevine podcast, and become a patron as well. And get your name called out on the show. Adios.